Good morning. Welcome to Sunday Morning with 11 Action. I am Ken Tuck. Thank you for joining me today. How's your day going? I hope your weekend has been going really well and your Sunday's off to a great start. Some of you may be returning from a worship service this morning and have the Joy FM tuned in. Some of you may be on your way to a worship service. Some of you may be working. I know there's some prisoners out there who listen as well. And just everyone who's tuned in this morning, I want to say thank you. God bless you. And I pray that today's message will bless you, challenge you, and encourage you this morning. Today I'm going to talk about something that's near and dear to my heart, and if you have been listening to Sunday Morning with 11 Action for any amount of time, or if you know me, then you know that the Great Commission is something I love, not just to talk about, but to make it part of my life, to make it my life, my lifestyle. And I believe that's something that every believer needs to do. We need to know the Great Commission Jesus gives us, understand it, and live it out because it is a lifestyle. And we're going to talk about the Great Commission this morning, go into detail about it. Before we do, though, let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Father God, we praise you. Lord, what a glorious day you've given us today. Every day you've given us is a glorious day, Lord. And really, no matter what's going on in our lives, Father, we can give you praise and give you honor and give you glory. And I thank you for this time on the Joy FM to share your word this morning. And I ask you, Holy Spirit, to teach each one of us what you want to tell us, what you want to show us, and lead us and guide us into all your truths, Father God. Thank you for giving us your word. Father, we just thank you for your son, Jesus, for the salvation that you give us. Jesus, you paid that price, the ultimate price for all of us, and you offer to us salvation. Jesus, you do it all, and you have done it all. And so, Father, I pray that anybody who's listening this morning who does not have that relationship with you, I pray today is that day. And today will be the day they call on your name, Jesus, and be saved. And for those who are believers, then I pray they'll be encouraged today. Lord, I pray that the eyes of their hearts will be opened to the fullness of you, God, to the fullness of your love and your power and your grace and your mercy. And I just ask you, Father God, that you will just continue to do that great work that you're doing in all of us. And Father, help us to be obedient to your word. Help us to be obedient to you and to trust and obey. For as the hymn says, for there is no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. May we be that people, Lord, who trust and obey you. Father, we praise you. We love you. And it's in your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. As I mentioned, we're going to talk about the Great Commission today. A lot of people don't know what the Great Commission is. Praise God, more and more are understanding what it is. You're hearing more about discipleship, and my prayer is that it's more than just hearing it, but that discipleship is being taught. Disciples are being made, because that's what we're supposed to do as believers, and the Great Commission tells us that we are to make disciples, and not only make disciples, but make disciples who can make disciples, and that's what we're going to talk about this morning. And as the Holy Spirit leads us, that's where we'll go this morning. So that word disciple, what's that all about? That's being a student, being a pupil. And we want to be, as believers, we want to be students of Jesus. We want to learn about Jesus. We want to learn his lifestyle and then learn how he wants us to live for him. Because he gives us that command, follow me. And how are we going to follow him if we don't know him? And we're going to know him by reading his word. We're going to know him by living this life out with other believers who are disciples of Jesus. You know, there's a big difference between saying I'm a believer and actually being a believer in Jesus Christ. And it's the difference between believing and trusting. And we're going to talk about that today as we go through this topic of discipleship and the Great Commission. But one thing we have to understand is to become a disciple of Jesus, we need to come to Jesus. You know, Jesus, he's the one who saves us. We cannot save ourselves. Nobody else can save us. Jesus is the only one who saves us. And so he does all that work, and he offers salvation. He offers forgiveness from sins. He offers eternal life with him. And we just receive. We have to receive. And The Word of God tells us in Romans that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, if we believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. It's like saying, Jesus, I believe, I trust you, and I give my life to you. You are Lord of my life. Forgive me, save me. You know, just call out to him like that. Receive his forgiveness, receive his salvation, and God draws us. That's what we have to understand. We can't save ourselves. God's doing it all. God's drawing us. God's doing the regeneration. God's doing the saving all through his son, Jesus Christ. And he fills us with the Spirit, and he tells us to follow him. So as we come to Christ, what's the next step? To follow Jesus and to be a disciple. In other words, to be a student, to learn how to live like Jesus so we can live it and so we can teach others to do the same. But one thing I think is very important that's often overlooked, because we want to see that salvation, and that's awesome. I love seeing people come to the Lord. There's nothing better than knowing that somebody's just made a decision that has transformed their not only their whole life here on earth, but eternity. One thing we have to understand is we have to count the cost of giving our lives to Jesus, becoming a disciple. Let me give you an extreme example. In many other countries around this world, persecution takes place if you're a Christian. And let's talk about one of the countries that we are so blessed to minister in alongside other indigenous pastors, and that's Pakistan. Pakistan is a Muslim country, and it's like 99.7% of the country is Muslim, and Christianity is not welcome. And if you are a Muslim and you say, I'm going to follow Jesus, you better mean it, because one, you will definitely be excommunicated from your family, from your community, and there's a very good chance you'll be martyred, you'll be killed. It happens countries like Pakistan and Yemen and Iran and Iraq, where Christians are persecuted unto death. So a person who says, I'm going to make a decision to follow Jesus, really means it, because they know they have counted the cost, and they said Jesus is worth it, and they're right, but they count the cost. Now here in the U.S., we don't see that extreme persecution, and so it's easy to say, oh yeah, I'll follow Jesus, or I'm a believer, or yes, I'm a Christian, when you're really not. You're just verbally saying it. You know, Jesus says even the demons believe that he's the Son of God, and they quake. And so if we just say, yeah, I believe in Jesus, that's not actually following Jesus. Now, yeah, we have to believe in him. We have to trust in him. But we need to live for him, because as James talks about works a lot, but he's not talking about salvation through works. We can never do enough good works. I could take care of the homeless from now until, if I could be like in the Old Testament days, live till I'm in my 700s, 800s, still wouldn't be enough. Only Jesus can save us. But the way we live our lives displays who we're living it for. If I'm living my life loving Jesus, serving Jesus and others, as Jesus tells us, to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves, then if I'm living that way, then people see that, okay, I'm different. I'm not living for this world. I'm not living for myself. I'm living for Jesus and living to tell others about him. So it's the outflow of our salvation. His light is going to shine through us. If we're truly born again, truly a disciple of Jesus, people are going to see that. We read in the scriptures where they talk about the apostles saying, these are the men who have turned the world upside down. That's just 12 guys, or at that time, 11. Now, there was 12 because they had brought in one that replaced Judas. So 12 guys had turned the world upside down. So they knew something was different about them. And they counted the cost. They saw Jesus crucified, their leader, their Messiah, crucified. But praise God, they saw him rise from the dead and come back to life and to show himself to them and to teach them, and then ascended to heaven with the promise of coming back. And so they said, yes, I believe Jesus, he is the Messiah. And if they killed him, well, Jesus says they're going to persecute us as well, but it's worth it. I'm going to live for him. They counted the cost, and they did, and praise God they did, and others after them all the way to today, because the gospel has continued through each one of those people. And somebody, my uncle, said, I'm going to live for Jesus. And he's the one who shared the gospel with me. And later in life, Andy Bryan, a wonderful evangelist, he shared the gospel. And I made that decision to follow Jesus. So my mom and dad, they decided to follow Jesus and lived it out in front of me. All these people who played a part in me coming to Christ, they made that decision. They're going to follow Jesus. And because they did, and I saw that example, not just in words, but in action, then I decided, you know what? I want to follow Jesus too. It wasn't me. It was God doing that work in me. He's the one who was drawing me to him. He was the one doing the regeneration, and he was the one who saved me. And so as a believer, then I want to show others Jesus. I want to tell others about Jesus, and I want them to see him in me, and I desire for them to want to be saved. And so what's that going to cost me? Here in America, it can still cost us. It can cost us some family members, because some family members don't want anything to do with religion, period, no matter what it is, and they'll just kind of tune you out. I didn't get a promotion for a long time back when I was in the newspaper business because I was a Christian and a believer and one who made sure people knew because I wanted them to know about Jesus. So there's different things like that that'll happen. Now, I've never been threatened here in America with death because I'm a Christian, like in other countries, but there are costs of following Jesus, and we need to count those costs before we do. And I'm not trying to discourage anybody out there. Oh, because when you do count the cost and you do say, yes, Jesus is worth it, wow, life is amazing. I'm not saying everything is easy and all this kind of stuff. No, I've been through the ringer over the past couple of decades in different ways. But praise God, he has been with me through the whole time, and he has taught me things and showed me things and done things in me through all those situations. If you didn't listen to Jim Landley and I last week here on the Joy FM, go back to the Love in Action podcast and listen to that. You'll hear some things that both Jim and I have been through, but wow, God just really did such a mighty work through each one of those situations. So when I say, man, life is awesome when you're a Christian, it is. But again, it's not that it's just peaches and cream and, you know, nothing bad ever happens or anything. No. If anybody tells you that, don't listen to that, because we're still on earth. We're still in a fallen world where things happen and bad people are everywhere because the enemy, Satan, is using people to try to discourage and destroy others. The thing is, though, why I say it's such an awesome life, because Jesus has saved my soul, and he has given me life here, and he has given me eternal life. I know without a shadow of a doubt that when I die, I'm going to be with him in heaven. And I was so sure of that, that back in 2015, when I did almost die because of infection that was going on in my body, I wasn't scared. I was at peace, and I was ready to go see my Jesus. And that's all boasting on him, not on me. Because if it wasn't for him, I would have not been in that situation. I would have been scared. I wouldn't have wanted to die. I was at perfect peace because Jesus has given me that peace. He is my peace. When we count the cost, we realize, you know what? Jesus counted the cost, and he thought we were worth it. When he went through everything that he went through for us, he went through shame. He went through horrific beatings. He went through death on a cross. He counted the cost and said, we were worth it. And man, when we think about that, and we think about counting our own costs, then it's a no-brainer. Yes, I want Jesus. I want to live for him. I want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And so when we become a disciple, we become a learner, a person who follows Jesus, follows his teaching, then we become people who obey Jesus. We obey his word. His word abides in us. We abide in his word. In the New Testament, the disciples were not only students, but imitators of their teachers, and that's what we're supposed to be. Therefore, when we are a disciple of Jesus, we are committing to learn from and to imitate our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are to truly, truly know him. And Jesus describes the seriousness of being his disciple in Luke chapter 14, verses 25 through 33. So let's go there. Luke chapter 13, verses 25 through 33. I'm sorry, that's Luke 14, verses 25 through 33. And let's read. Now large crowds were going along with him, and he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which one of you, when he wants to build a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who observe it begin to ridicule him. Or what king, when he sets out to meet another king in battle, will not first sit down and consider whether he is strong enough with 10,000 men to encounter the one coming against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So then, none of you can be my disciples who does not give up all his own possessions. Wow. Some pretty intense words there by Jesus, isn't it? Well, let's talk about this. First of all, just we have to understand, as a disciple of Jesus, nothing, nobody comes before him. A successful discipleship is putting Jesus first in our hearts, and that includes all others, parents, children, spouses, even ourselves. And so the point is no other relationship is first for a disciple. Now, that doesn't mean Jesus is saying, let's take a verse, for example, when he says in verse 26, he who doesn't hate his own father, mother, wife, children, brothers, and sisters, even his own life, cannot be my disciple. Now, Jesus is not telling us there to hate our parents, to hate our siblings, or to hate ourselves. What Jesus is saying, and we always have to remember the context in which it was written and the audience in whom he's speaking to. So Jesus is telling this Jewish audience that if you decide to follow me, you're going to face problems. Your mother and your father and your brother and your sisters, they're going to ridicule you because they don't believe. And remember, I talked about earlier about how persecution takes place within their own families. And that's exactly what Jesus was saying. So if you decide to follow me and your mom, your dad, your brother, sister, they decide not to, then are you still going to love me enough to follow me? Or are you going to love them more than me? And if you do, well, you're not following me. See, Jesus gave his all. We have to give our all. And the beautiful thing is when we decide, yes, Jesus, you are first in my life, then his love just consumes us so much. And so much so that as we love others, we're actually loving them with his love. And so that's an even greater love. For example, Martha and I, my precious, beautiful wife, who's my ministry partner and my best friend, and I love her so much. But you know what? She knows I love Jesus more. And I know that she loves Jesus more. So what does that do with our marriage? That makes our marriage even better. Because the love that we give to each other is the love of Jesus Christ that is in us. And so it makes us love even beyond what we were ever capable of loving each other with. So that's what Jesus is saying. Love me first and follow me. And in situations where it may be people are getting ridiculed because they're deciding to follow Jesus, well, you keep following Jesus anyway. And you still love those who are ridiculing you or even persecuting you. And you pray for them. And the example of the love of Christ in you will be seen by them and will be experienced. Even if they hate you, they're not going to be able to deny the fact that the love of Jesus Christ is in you and is coming to them as well. And many will come to faith in Jesus Christ. So Jesus is telling us to put him first. So as we count the cost, we need to understand that. We know that Jesus is first in our lives. No matter what else happens, he is first, and we're going to follow him. So when we count the cost, we understand that, and then we still follow him. And that's so important. And I encourage you, if you're at that point right now where you're going, I'm counting the cost, but I just don't know, he's worth it. He thought you were worth it when he died on that cross. And he counted the cost. Remember, he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. He knew what was coming up. And he even prayed, God, if this cup can pass, please let it, but not my will, your will. And he knew the Father's will. And he went to Calvary, that cross, being nailed to it and dying that brutal death because we were worth it. And he was Jewish, right? And the Jewish people had at one moment they were praising him, you know, singing Hosanna, Hosanna to the King. And then the next moment they're yelling, crucify him. So he was being rejected by his own people. But he knew the will of the Father, and he knew the will of the Father was best. He counted the cost, and he knew what he was going to do, and he thought we were worth it, and we should do the same. We should know that he's worth it. And he tells us also in verse 27, whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. We're not to carry his cross. He carried his cross. We all have a cross to bear. And bearing our cross means experiencing the rejection that he experienced. We're going to be rejected. We just know that. He tells us that. And that's not a fun thing to be rejected, is it? You know, many of our homeless friends, they're rejected constantly by society. That's why when we open up our arms to them and hug them and tell them, hey, things are going to be okay. God loves you. We love you. It means something to them because it's not fun being rejected. And as a believer, it's not fun being rejected. But you know what? Our Heavenly Father, he has his arms wrapped around us saying, it's okay. I'm with you. I got you. And the simple matter is that when people, we say, reject us, they're really not rejecting us. They're rejecting someone much more important than us. That's Jesus. And that's sad, that they're rejecting Jesus. I often hear people say, well, I don't like to share because I'm afraid of being rejected. Well, that's really a selfish thing because we're not being rejected. Jesus is being rejected. And we need to get past that barrier because people need to hear about Jesus. And if they reject him, that's what they do. But some are going to receive him. And if we're not sharing the gospel with them, we miss out on that awesome opportunity to share Jesus with people. And we cannot truly follow Jesus without being prepared to walk down this path of being rejected. Again, he was rejected, so who are we to think that we're not going to go through what our Savior, what our Lord went through? And discipleship is basically allegiance. We are following Jesus because we truly love him. And to follow Jesus is to fully trust him. We trust him with everything. And as we are coming to the end today, I hadn't even gotten into the Great Commission yet, but I want to talk briefly about the Great Commission, and we'll roll into next week going into the Great Commission. But it's so important. Count the cost of discipleship. Don't just say, okay, yeah, I'm a believer, and then you never do anything. You don't live for him. You don't follow him. You don't read his word. You're not praying. You're not telling others about him. You're just saying, I'm a Christian. Well, that's not being a Christian. That's not being a born-again believer in Jesus Christ. And again, it's not about works. We can't save ourselves through works. There's some religions that try to put works in there with salvation. Well, that's totally false and totally unbiblical, because works has nothing to do with us being saved. Jesus saves us. And from that point, we start to follow him. And that's where the good works come in, because he is in us, and we want to live like him. And so we see how he lives, and we want to emulate that. We want to be imitators of Christ, and that's where the good works come in. So Jesus saves us. We count the cost. Yes, I'm going to follow Jesus no matter what. Then he gives us this great commission. This is in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And this is when Jesus, he has died. He has risen from the grave. And he's about to ascend to heaven, because he has to ascend to heaven so the Holy Spirit can come. And before he goes, he tells the disciples this, and he's telling each and every one of his disciples who will come after him. That includes all of us who are listening today. If you're a believer in Jesus, this is his great commission. It's for you. It's for me. And he tells us, Matthew 28, starting in verse 18, Jesus said to them, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. That's the Great Commission. And I encourage you to memorize it. And some people say, oh, Ken, I can't memorize anything. I can't even memorize my own password for my phone or whatever. But you know what? you can remember Scripture, and it's so important for us to take your time in doing it and ask the Holy Spirit to help you, because Jesus tells us that the Holy Spirit will bring back to mind. We put the Scripture in us, the Holy Spirit's going to bring it back to mind, and we can remember it. And so I just encourage you, if you have a hard time memorizing Scripture or memorizing anything, before you try to memorize this, pray and say, Holy Spirit, I need your help. Help me to memorize this. And then start doing it. Jesus said to them, memorize that part. Jesus said to them, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Start memorizing that, you know, just a sentence at a time or a phrase at a time. And then start repeating it over and over again until you get 18 through 20 memorized. You can do it. Write it out and put it up on the refrigerator or bathroom mirror or somewhere where you're going to see it, and you can look at it and read it, and then keep saying, Holy Spirit, help me to memorize this. And then when you memorize it, you can quote it. And remember, it's a lifestyle. This is how Jesus wants us to live the Great Commission. It's not the great suggestion. He's not saying, do this if you feel like it. Do this if it's convenient. No, he says, go. Simply go and make disciples of all nations. And so we're going to stop here today, and we're going to come back next week and get into the Great Commission and dive into it, dissect it some. And I want to show you what he's telling us in there and show you that you and I can be true disciples of Jesus. We can be Great Commission Christians, and we can witness to others about Jesus Christ. So I encourage you to come back next week and join me. And thank you for joining me today. And again, I pray that if you don't have Jesus in your life, if he's not your Lord, he's not your Savior, well, I want to tell you something. He's Lord anyway. He's Lord whether we want him to be or not. He is. That's just the fact. But when we confess that he is our Lord, that changes everything in our lives. We submit to his Lordship, and we believe that he died to save us. He's our Savior. So I just encourage you today, and I pray that today is your day to talk to him. Call on his name. Ask him to forgive you. Confess that he's your Lord. He's your Savior. And give your life to him. And then I encourage you to tell somebody. If you want to tell me, please, you can email me at ken.tuck@loveinactionministries.com. ken.tuck@loveinactionministries.com. Or you can call. Our office is 334-494-4995. I'd love to hear from you. But tell somebody about your decision and get involved with a church, a life-giving church that's making disciples. And if you are a follower of Christ, keep following him. Keep living for him. Be that Great Commission Christian that he's called each one of us to be. Tell others about him and make disciples. Well, I pray each one of you have a great week coming up. Know that Jesus loves you so very much, and I pray the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.